Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Lambda Weekly. I am Laurent Landis, here with Patty Fink. Just us.
Just us, and Doc.
And Doc, oh yeah.
Doc's right on the board today.
Oh, yes, yeah. He is.
David's got the day off.
He had last weekend off, so 2 weeks in a row. He hasn't done that, and forever.
Much deserved.
Much deserved. So he was in Winnipeg.
I think in Canada.
I think he's actually back in the States now, but he put some pictures on Facebook, and what a gorgeous city.
Yeah.
Seems like all the cities in Canada are gorgeous.
Unanimously.
Yeah, so I got to go check out Winnipeg.
They don't have any deserts except ice, like ice and snow.
Exactly.
Tundra.
Exactly. We have no guests today. We're just going to chat. There's a lot of news to talk about. We haven't done this in quite a while, so we thought this would be a good opportunity just to talk about some good items. Much of our news in the past months, or actually past years, is dominated about gay marriage.
Yeah.
But that's not the only issue in our community. That's not, if anything, I don't know if I would even say it's the biggest issue. One of the biggest issues is the right to work.
Right. Exactly. Workplace protections.
Workplace protections. And I am still astounded by how many people assume, and it's nothing bad on their part, but a lot of people assume that we already are protected alongside classifications like race and gender.
Religion.
And we're not. What is it? In 29 states, we can be fired for being gay?
Exactly. And 35 if you're transgender.
Okay.
So it's not very many states that have protections for us, and certainly nothing at the federal level.
And nothing at the federal level, which is the biggest.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's really interesting now that so many people, particularly like in Dallas, where people have focused on the resolution for equality,
mm-hmm.
and such, that nationally the biggest issue, and in Texas as well, because Texas is one of those states.
We don't even have a Texas ENDA.
Right. So we were talking about ENDA. It's the Employment Non-Discrimination Act.
Right.
But it's been introduced in the United States Congress session after session for probably 20 years. And
oh, that long?
Oh, it's been around since the 90s. And then Employment Non-Discrimination in Texas has been introduced for probably more than a decade. And of course, the legislature only meets every other year.
Right.
But big news this week, major news on
major ENDA. News.
It got voted out of committee in the Senate, and that's the more advancement than it's ever made.
Absolutely.
So this is huge. And what's really interesting is we have some Republican senators who've been traditionally voting with us. We have Senator Snow and gosh, can't think of her name now.
You mean as far as some of the supporters that we had?
Right, the Republicans who typically support us.
Well, we got one who doesn't usually support us. That's
right, we have
Orrin Hatch.
Orrin Hatch of Utah voted it out of committee. We also have Lisa Murkowski.
Yes.
Who did the write-in campaign with her last name and taught the entire state how to spell her name and won that Senate seat.
And won.
And so... You know, she of course voted with us. She had denounced her support for marriage equality, not long before that. So this is really exciting.
It's incredibly exciting.
We may get a vote on the Senate floor.
So, yeah, if you can talk us through what the process is now that it's out of committee. It next goes to Senate floor.
If the leader of the Senate, which is Harry Reid, mm-hmm. brings it to a vote. And there's all kinds of procedural things to stop it, which we've been witnessing similar things happening here in Texas.
We'll definitely
in the
get
last
to that.
Month. But there are ways for opposition to stop it or not to have enough votes. But this is an opportunity for the Senate to express themselves in support of employment non-discrimination for LGBT employees, because this mm-hmm. bill is inclusive.
It is.
And that's been in our history kind of a fight, some infighting, in fact, we've had.
Absolutely, whether to include the T or not.
Right.
As a matter of fact, one of our biggest, not supporters, but somebody up in the federal legislature from Massachusetts.
Barney Frank
did not want the T in there at one time.
Well, he thought it was strategically not a good
idea.
Right. But he came around. And said, we're all together. And so this is really exciting. And then, of course, the House would have to move on it. And that's probably unlikely.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if we can get it out of committee this session and get it to the Senate floor, it puts a lot of pressure on the House to do so either, in session now or in a future Congress. So there's movement, and that's exciting.
That is exciting. You know what I've always found very interesting about the non-passage of INDA on a federal level is how was it that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was overturned before we got INDA passed? Because that's basically what Don't Ask, Don't Tell was. That was a military... overturning it was a military INDA, so to speak.
Well, it was and it wasn't.
Because it gave gays and lesbians the right to be in the military and you're working.
Right, but it's not affirmative, proactive protections for LGBT people in the workplace, in the military.
True.
It just took away the ban.
It took
and
away
the punishment for being that.
You're right. It took
but
away
no expressed protections.
Right. But it prevented you from if you were outed, found out, or whatever, while you're in the military, i.e. on the job, they couldn't fire you for it. They couldn't.
Right.
They couldn't kick you out now.
So instead of a negative, it brought it back to zero.
It brought it back to zero, exactly. Well, in civilian life, we're not even at zero.
Right.
So, well,
a lot of us.
In most states, including here in Texas. So I've always thought that was interesting because supposedly civilian life is we're always ahead of the military, especially when it comes to civil rights.
And corporate corporate. Life is much, much better for LGBT people.
It is.
You know,
it is.
Corporate America is way ahead of what's happening in legislatures.
It is.
You know, so, but this is big because people do lose their jobs.
People do lose their jobs, lose promotions, or don't get hired. Or don't get hired. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, because they're lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, having these in place is a really, really big deal. And in my opinion, in those of many, it's a bigger deal than marriage. Because if you can't work and support your family, that's fundamental to, you know, basic food and shelter kind of life.
Absolutely. You know? I totally agree. And that's talking to somebody who is married.
Right.
You know, I am married to someone of the same gender, but I think it's actually more important that I have the right to work. You know, I mean, that's my livelihood.
Right.
And I've always thought that the arguments against INDA are just kind of asinine. You know, one of the arguments we've heard is that it will create more lawsuits. Well, it might, but that's okay because people shouldn't be doing it.
So we shouldn't outlaw discrimination based on race because it might spawn lawsuits.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it makes no sense. And what's really crazy to me is that when you poll Americans and even when you poll Texans, they're not only supportive, but as you pointed out, many think it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
So if everybody thinks it's already there and they're okay with that and they would support that, then why is it so darn hard
to get it passed? Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's insane. And one of the other things that they point out is like, oh, well, if you're a religious organization and you object, it would be infringing on, you know, religious rights, you know, which is, seems to be across the board in anything, any kind of civil rights for LGBT people.
Right.
So there are even, I believe in this bill, there are exceptions for small employers that are religious oriented,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they don't have to have that policy. But fortunately, in the city of Dallas, we do have that protection.
We do
so
have
if you
that
live
protection.
Or, and or work. In the city of Dallas, we have that protection. But you, like, live in a suburb.
I live in a suburb.
That doesn't have it.
That does not. But I work in Dallas.
So.
I work in Dallas. And, yeah, I had the discussion with a coworker slash friend of mine not too long ago. And she was – well, I was just telling Patty also. I just got a new job that I'm very stoked about. But for the first time, I kind of came out in the interview process.
Really?
I've never done that.
Go, Laurent.
Well, and here's the deal. I didn't say, by the way, I'm gay, but I mean, when it came to the portion for me to ask questions, you know, in the interview process, I just flat out asked, do y'all have same-sex domestic partnership benefits? That pretty much says it. Why would I be asking about that? You know, and luckily they did. And so the reason why I did it is like, well, you know what? What the hell? I'm already employed. If I don't get the job, oh well. I'm already employed. I just really had nothing to lose at that point. And if they didn't want...
And why not ask for what you want?
Exactly. Why not ask for what you want? So, and it worked out in my favor, but a lot of people don't have that luxury or, you know, some people just need a job. They can't take that risk.
Right.
And so a lot of... the friend that I was working with was, you know, saying... I would always tell from up front. But again, that's coming from a straight perspective. And she really didn't understand. Look, when you get on a job and you just go there to work, and then you maybe put a picture up of your partner, you're taking a risk.
Sure. I mean, if you don't know already. And it's good to know before you even accept a job.
It's good to know before you accept a job. So, I was just telling her basically there's two schools of thoughts. You know, you can talk about it up front, get out of the way during an interview process or hiring process, or you can keep it to yourself. But, again, this is why INDA is needed.
Right, exactly.
You shouldn't have to worry either way.
But I think it's interesting because so many more straight people today are asking the question, not specifically about domestic partnership benefits, but do you have inclusive employment policies?
Right.
And
usually you have that when you have the other.
Right, yeah. Exactly. And, you know, and they want to know that that's the environment they're going to work in,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's very important. And there are many different ways of doing it. You ask the question point blank, but you could have said something like, well, my partner and my daughter want to be able to take a vacation every year together. How much vacation is? I mean, you could have introduced it in a lot of different ways.
I could have.
Without, you know, point blank asking. But,
right.
You know, but that's awesome. And it gives an employer an opportunity to say, why, yes, we do.
And she did. She said, why, yes, we do. So, and I think her eyes bucked a little bit, but she wasn't expecting that a question. But, you know, again, what did I have to lose? But everybody doesn't have that luxury. When you need a job, I mean, especially, we know how the economy's been forever now, and you need a job, you've been unemployed forever. You don't want to take that risk. I need a job. I need to work. I'm not going there to talk about my personal life. You know, we talked about this a little bit last week with C.D. Kervin, who was on. We talked about INDA, and I was pointing out the story, and you might know a little bit more about it than I do, about this lesbian woman who, I forgot what state it was, but she worked for a Catholic school for years. I mean, I think like 20-plus years. Someone in her partner's family died, and they mentioned her in the obituary.
Right.
Somebody at the school found out about it. It's not like she went to school and was, I hate to use the word parading around, but that's what, you know, some of our opposition
says. You're like talking
says.
About it constantly. She wasn't wearing a t-shirt that was,
exactly,
you know,
like, you know,
I'm gay.
I'm gay, or, you know, any of that. She totally didn't even mention it at work, in the workplace, but they found out about it and they let her go on the spot.
That's insane.
That is insane. That is ridiculous. And I forgot what state it was, but I don't know if that state has a state INDA, but because it's a religious institution, she probably has no recourse.
Well, it just gets more insane. I mean, because, you know, like at Baylor, we had the incident where a very successful man who had been a graduate of Baylor and had been on the advisory board of the Hankamer School of Business at Baylor,
mm-hmm.
for years, and was giving on the order of $25,000 a year to the university, you know, 9 or 10 years in, happened to mention that he was relocating to another state with his partner. And they, you know, chased that. They hopped on that immediately and, you know, said, you're no longer on the advisory board.
Oh, wow.
And they turned him away. And that's just insane. Because he's been fine all along.
Exactly.
And it's no different with Brittany Griner.
No different.
You know, she's making Baylor money.
Exactly.
You know. And
Brittany Griner, the basketball player who came out, what, about 2 or 3 months ago?
Right.
Yeah.
And then has, launched an incredible NBA, WNBA
career. WNBA career, yeah.
You know, so, already broken records out
mm-hmm,
there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she was making money for them, and that's okay. But now that she's come out, they haven't even mentioned her. And I'm an alum.
It's not funny, but it's...
Sikkim Bears. I'm an alum, yeah. And I get all this stuff. They haven't mentioned her.
Wow.
In all that success since she came out, so...
Yeah, as long as she was thought to be straight, they probably would have mentioned her name ad nauseum.
Or, you know, was... You know, shamefully in the closet where she belongs, kind
right.
of, which is the attitude. And
right,
that's
right.
the attitude at the school where this woman was out. She couldn't be out and be proud about it.
Right.
You know, she had to be ashamed, and they had to punish her for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the attitude.
But I almost, you know, is going back to that woman who lost her job. Who at that school was watching her so closely that they read the obituaries every day, read this. It should have been a stranger's obituary. They should have been and put two and two together. I mean, she had to probably been watched already. I don't know. It's just crazy.
Well, depending on how big the town is, the obituaries is probably the most exciting thing in the paper. Seriously.
Oh, wow. But that's not a town I want to relocate to.
Well, yeah. You know, when Aaron and I went to the down to the coast, the Texas coast, for the 4th of July last weekend, when you were on the show by yourself, mm-hmm. with CD, mm-hmm. And David and I were both gone, there's a town that we stop in along I-45 and pick up the local newspaper because the crime beat is just a scream. Really? I mean, they'll say things like, and this is in the paper, you know, things like, you know, we went to this location and... you know, the woman had thrown all of her husband's things in the front yard because he deserved it. I mean, this is in the paper. It's just delightful. But any small town newspaper, you can probably get that much entertainment. Wow. But the obituaries might, in fact, be quite exciting.
You're probably right, Patty. Wow. Yeah. Well, I'm curious why, you know, someone like Orrin Hatch, who previously was against it, I mean, you don't know, personally know, but why do you think he's come around?
Well, there could be two ways of thinking about this. He could be looking to just, let's just give it a vote. Let's get it out of committee.
Okay.
And it could be that maybe he wants to express an openness from the moderate Republicans in the Congress, mm-hmm. Rather than this right-wing extremist stuff.
Because Orrin Hatch, we got to go. We got to take a break. We'll come right back and I'll finish up this question. Okay.
In Dallas, local partners and national nonprofit Connect to Compete have made available for residents digital skills training classes. Classes include basic internet searching, internet basics, computer basics, and more. Local residents are also eligible for programs that provide assistance for internet service and computers. For more information on internet classes at local libraries, their phone number is 1-855-387-9166 or on the web at everyoneon.org. This program is in partnership with Dallas Area Libraries, Connect to Compete, and the Ad Council.
When they're gone for good. This is Scott from KNON's Texas Blues Radio telling you don't miss out on some great blues. KNON's Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 Blues CD. It's a CD put together by real blues fans for real blues fans like you. Texas Blues Radio Volume 5 features great local blues from Michael J. and the Paul Bird Band, J.J. and the Detonators, the Chris Watson Band, the Two Tones, Rough Cut Blues Band, Jeff Stone with Charlie Love, Dave Millsap, Sirloin and the Ass Kicking Machine, Tutu Jones, Blues Boy Bo, Buddy Whittington, Andrea Dawson, Kirkland James, Sonny Colley, and Johnny Red and the Roosters. Get a copy now at Forever Young Records in Grand Prairie, Record Town in Fort Worth, and in Dallas at Bill's Records. This is a Dallas Blues collector's item. A very limited amount of vinyl copies can be found at Forever Young Records, the sponsor of this great blues project. CD downloads are available at cdbaby.com. Whether you get it as a download, on vinyl, or on CD, all the proceeds will benefit KNON. For more info on Texas Blues Radio Volume 5, visit KNON.org.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambo Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
All right, and welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis, again here with Patty Fink. David is off this week. He'll be back next week. And also, I mentioned it last week, but I wanted to mention it again. Congratulations to him for becoming this year's recipient of the Kuchling Award.
Yes, that's so awesome. And that when he comes awesome. Back, we should have an in-depth kind of history about the award.
We should.
And talk about it, because it's a really big deal.
It's a big deal. Here locally.
Yeah.
You know, it's the highest honor, I guess, someone in the GLBT community can receive.
In North Texas.
North Texas, yeah. So, good for him. Good for him. Much deserved.
Our very own David Taffet.
Very own David Taffet. I just wanted to finish up again the last item about Enda and Orrin Hatch. I was wondering why he may have come around. I mean, one of the reasons why I was kind of surprised about it is because not only has he always been against it or anything gay positive, but he is from Utah. It's not like there's a big gay presence there that has been pressuring him.
Right, but you know, it's right there next to Colorado with civil unions,
mm-hmm.
and California now has full marriage equality.
That's true.
That is recognized by the federal government.
So now I guess Utah's being squeezed a little bit.
So maybe there's a little pressure there to bring some of those marriages, perhaps, to his home state.
Perhaps.
Which would be, you know, that would be a stream of revenue that every state would like to have.
Absolutely.
And that's why I think Nevada's going to crumble.
I think so, too.
I think they're going to fold their hand because, you know, everybody ought to be able to do a drive-through wedding with an Elvis impersonator. Everybody.
Well, I'm sure if it were up to the city of Las Vegas alone, they would be like, oh, yeah, why not?
Let's do this.
They probably would have said, okay, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. But the rest of the state is the problem. All right, let's talk about a little entertainment news. Last week, I announced the bizarre twist in the ongoing Paula Deen debacle, in which her attorneys had asked the court to dismiss the racial discrimination lawsuit against Paula based on the Supreme Court's dismissal of the Prop 8 law.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously. It's like, you didn't hear about this?
No.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're talking toast and carburetors. I mean,
it's like, well, when I first heard it, I just saw it online. It was just a headline, like, okay, that can't be true. Then it was all over the news, like CNN and everything. I'm like, okay, this is really true. Apparently, her attorneys were saying that the racial discrimination lawsuit should not have standing because I don't know if a lot of people realize this. The woman who filed the lawsuit is not black, she's white. And they were saying, well, you shouldn't have been affected, which I think is totally ridiculous.
No, hostile work environment is hostile work environment.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Patty. It's like, hello.
I would be offended if somebody were doing that behavior in my workplace.
Exactly.
I don't have to be that race or that religion or whatever to
thank you.
Feel the impact.
I mean, if I'm a man, and if you're walking around making, you know, all kinds of comments, negative comments about women, well, I mean, I don't want to hear that. You know, so, but anyway, that's what her attorneys were, that's what they asked the judge to do. I haven't heard a follow-up if the judge took that or not. Another thing, this lawsuit against Paula Deen is a combined lawsuit. Not only is it a racial discrimination lawsuit, it's a sexual harassment lawsuit. So they wanted the racial part dismissed based on Prop 8. And I
so funny.
Yeah, so funny. And I thought, oh my God, or what have her attorneys been smoking, or did they even pass the state bar? Well, maybe Paula Deen listened to the show last week and took my advice, because this week she fired her legal team. She fired her legal team, and she got a new set of lawyers that include, they have apparently a lot of experience in employment matters and wrongful termination suits, and they've also have represented previous celebrities like Conan O'Brien and Keith Olbermann. So, good for her. It's probably the smartest decision she's made throughout this entire debacle.
Which is sad to say, because you would get an employment attorney to defend you in an employment lawsuit, and it's taken her this long to figure that out.
Exactly.
Catching on, Paula.
I know.
Let's do it.
I know.
You know, what was this? What they got, like a, you know, an estate planner, or, you know, probate court or something?
I think it was.
It was just like, come on, get somebody who knows what they're doing.
Exactly. That was the wrong approach. And again, throughout the whole thing, if you've been posted this on, you know, Facebook, I don't know if she's guilty of these accusations or not. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the more she spoke and the more her attorneys are spoke, they just dug themselves in a bigger hole.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, so. Maybe we'll see some turnaround now here with some smarter attorneys. Another item I want to follow up on from last week is about Grammy Award-winning musician and singer Melissa Etheridge. She was one of the several gay celebrities who announced immediately after the Supreme Court's ruling on Prop 8 that she's going to get married. Now, I thought, okay, well, this is her third marriage, and I thought, no, it's not, because she didn't marry
Julie Cypher,
and she didn't marry Tammy Lynn Michaels. I guess... Did they have a lot of commitments?
No, I thought they had a marriage.
Well, see, that was kind of the the debate. I thought Tammy Lynn Michaels said she interpreted their relationship as a marriage. I don't know if it was ever actually a legal marriage or not. But anyway, this week, Melissa's back in the news because of Tammy Lynn Michaels. She has filed court papers in an L.A. court to stop Melissa from taking their twins on a concert tour. And Tammy cites that she is most concerned about her six-year-olds being exposed to topless groupies and marijuana, among other things, when Melissa is on tour.
Really?
Yes. Michaels requested an emergency hearing because the concert tour begins this month, but the judge denied it and scheduled it for August. Now, I'm so glad you're here today, Patty, because you're the Melissa Etheridge aficionado. I've only been to one Melissa Etheridge concert, and it was brilliant, but I didn't see any panties and bras being thrown on stage. Have you ever seen that at one of her concerts?
I've seen I've seen that sort of thing thrown, but I've never, you know, seen or smelled the cannabis. And I've been to a lot of Melissa concerts.
I know you have. I know you have.
I mean, we have used to refer to them as lesbian high holy days.
That's right. That's
right. You know, whenever Melissa was in town.
Mm-hmm. And I assume she'll be swinging through here again on this tour.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Most likely. I haven't been keeping up with her of late, but, you know, I do think it's interesting that she doesn't want her six-year-olds to be in that environment.
Yeah.
I would think that it would just be, I mean, one of the things that has come out in the last 2 weeks is a study that shows a regular bedtime for young children is really important. You know, so maybe
I can attest to that.
And maybe that's not the case when you're moving from hotel to hotel.
Right. Right.
And driving through the night, right. And, you know, that kind of thing. So
I'm right there with you, Patty. I was just surprised that, yeah, why would you want to take your six-year-olds on tour in the first place?
Yeah, roadie's not really a good role for a kid.
No,
a six-year-old.
Not,
you know?
A six-year-old, no. So I don't know. I don't know if Tamalee and Michael says she has a valid point or she's just been a vindictive ex. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think it's that out of line. She's being a parent.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Well, hopefully they can just kind of come to some common ground and quit fighting in a public. Yeah, so famed and openly gay playwright and screenwriter Tony Kushner was among those awarded with the 2012 National Medal of Arts and Humanities this past Wednesday from President Barack Obama. So congratulations to him. Kushner co-authored a screenplay, the film Munich, and last year's Oscar-winning film Lincoln, but he's best known for his play Angels in America. Now here's a little side interesting thing. He and his now husband held a commitment ceremony back in 2003, and they became the first couple to be featured in the vows column in the New York Times.
Wow.
So that's kind of, that's something you could, you know, history that you can be proud about. So good for him. But say it ain't so, but the uber conservative talk show host Bill O'Reilly is once again defending gays.
Shocked.
Yeah,
I'm shocked.
I had to read this like three times. The Fox News host says that he thinks it should be illegal for religious people to confront LGBT folks and tell them that they're going to hell. His comments were part of a discussion regarding an American Christian preacher who was arrested over in England at the Wimbledon after yelling homophobic and hateful comments through a megaphone last week. In England, you can't do that.
Right.
You know, this is twofold for me.
It's rude.
It is. It's rude. It's very rude. You're interrupting the game. So on one hand, it's kind of cool. You shouldn't be allowed to say that. But then on the other hand, we in America, we value our right to freedom of speech.
Right.
So O'Reilly went on to say that, you know, if someone gets in a gay man's space and tell him that you're going to hell, I think it should be against the law because he's invading that person's space. He's bringing an intentional, personal anguish to the person. I think that person should be protected. Wow.
It's different for Bill O'Reilly. That's new.
Wow, some common sense that I kind of agree with Bill O'Reilly. Say it ain't so.
Well, the biggest thing he does in that comment is to humanize a gay person, because I think a lot of people would see this as like, you know, like a person has no feelings or
right.
should be treated with any sort of basic respect and dignity.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that sort of recognizes it, but in a backhanded way.
And I don't have the details here, but this is the same guy who, right after the Supreme Court ruled on DOMA and Prop 8, he blasted those rulings. So this guy complicated or what? I don't know. But you have some interesting news regarding another U.S. preacher man.
Oh, yeah. Well, this week, the one and only, you know, 700 clubs, Pat Robertson, has capped, you know, his latest long, long list of crazy things, that most of which are anti-gay. But this week, a caller or viewer on his show on the Christian Broadcasting Network, and in the 700 Club, it's been around for a long time. Anyway, this viewer wanted to know how to address images of same-sex couples on social media sites like Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And his reply to that, the viewer, was, he says, to me, I would punch vomit, not like, but there's no vomit button on Facebook, and they don't give you that option. This is crazy, man. But I have a list here of some of his his top 10, including
okay.
That one.
All right, let's
hear them. On adultery, here's a quote he's made. Males have a tendency to wander a little bit. But what you want to do is to make a home so wonderful he doesn't want to wander. So he's blaming a woman if her husband wanders. So that she's not making the home, you know.
If your man cheats, it's your fault.
It's a natural thing for him, yeah. So it's up to you to reel him in. on a man with an Alzheimer's-stricken wife. I know it sounds cruel, but if he's going to do something, he should divorce her and start all over again, but to make sure she has custodial care and someone's looking after her.
Oh,
stop. Said, divorce her wife and leave her.
So that's
a solution.
So if your wife starts to lose her mind, literally, just forget about her.
Yeah, just get her some help and move on.
Wow.
And then he added, asked about what the till death do us part of the marriage vow means in this situation. He says Alzheimer's is, quote, a kind of death. So, you know, he's interpreting those traditional marriage vows, you know, that they're so prized and nobody needs to change. Well, up until now, most people understood death to be death.
Yeah, you're no longer breathing.
And if you're incapacitated, you're still there with your spouse, yeah, taking care of them and loving them.
Exactly.
So on Walt Disney World's Gay Days, here's his quote, Pat Robertson. I would warn Orlando that you're right in the way of some serious hurricanes. And I don't think I'd be waving those flags in God's face if I were you. It'll bring about terrorist bombs. It'll bring earthquakes, tornadoes, and possibly a meteor. But my question is, would it bring a Sharknado? If you've been seeing all the hoopla, yeah, without Sharknado.
I love it how we gay and lesbians are just—we are so directly to weather.
I know we're so powerful.
I know we're so powerful. We control weather.
Apparently so.
Well, then, dang Patty, how come we can't make it cool right now?
I don't know. I don't know how that works. And if we're all so powerful, there were so many other things we could do. You know, I mean, you know, why does it have to be hurricanes? Why couldn't it be like more flowers in the spring? I'd love some more blue bonnets. You know, let's keep blue bonnets right through the summer. That would be awesome.
I guess we need to go back to our gay meeting so before we lose our gay card, because I don't know how to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we've fallen off on all these meetings.
We really have.
You know, yeah. We got to do that again. Yeah. On the role of a man and a woman, mm-hmm, here comes some more. Pat Robertson, quote, I know this is painful for the ladies to hear, but if you get married, you have accepted the headship of a man, your husband. Christ is the head of the household, and the husband is the head of the wife. And that's the way it is, period.
Wow.
So there's Pat Robertson's philosophy on men and women, but mostly about women.
Are we in 2013 or 1913?
Or 1613,
or
1613. I don't know. Because he follows this with, on his quote on feminism, quote, Pat Robertson, quote, the feminist agenda is not about equal rights for women. It's about a socialist, anti-family, political movement that encourages women to leave their husbands, kill their children, practice witchcraft, destroy capitalism, and become lesbians.
Yeah,
that's a lot of stuff.
That's a lot of stuff.
It is a lot of stuff.
That's what the feminist movement is about. Thank you for telling me that.
So here's Pat Robertson on the devastating 2010 Haiti earthquake. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III and whatever, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said, we will serve you if you will get us free from this prince. True story, he says. And he continues, and so the devil said, okay, it's a deal. And they kicked the French out. The Haitians revolted and got themselves free, but ever since they have been cursed by one thing after another. So this is his interpretation of an earthquake in Haiti in 2010.
Mm.
So here's one on homosexuality.
Back to us.
Yes, Pat Robertson, quote, many of those people involved in Adolf Hitler were Satanists. Many were homosexuals. The two things seem to go together. This is just insane. And then he comments about the possibility of assassinating Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez,
yes,
who was not assassinated. This is Pat Robertson, quote, you know, I don't know about this doctrine of assassination, but if he thinks we're trying to assassinate him, I think we really ought to go ahead and do it. And finally, on the tornadoes that have ravaged the Midwest, he says, if enough people were praying, God would have intervened. You could pray. Jesus stilled the storm. You can still storms. So this is all about, you know, I guess the gays against God, God versus gays versus God, because, you know, God controls the weather.
Right.
And, you know, had they just prayed enough, then those tornadoes that the gays are causing would have been stilled. So,
wow.
It's just...
Well, you know, here's another one. You know, we laugh at it. We know it's just insanity. But for those who... One, I'm shocked he's still on the air. But I guess... People still send him money. And, you know, again, we laugh at it because we know it's crazy. But a lot of people take that stuff seriously. And, you know, and these are the same people who vote. That's scary.
It's the LOFOs, I call them.
Yeah.
Low information voters.
I mean, how can you take some of that stuff seriously? Even if you do think homosexuality is wrong or whatever. But, wow. How old is he now? About 90?
Dirt plus one. I don't know. It's on up there.
I love that. We'll be right back on Lambda Weekly.
GoodSearch.com provides a way for you to support nonprofits like KNON with your online shopping and dining. GoodSearch.com offers a downloadable toolbar for searching from your computer called GoodApp, so your purchases can go to support KNON. With Good Dining, every time you go out to eat at participating restaurants, then a portion of what you spend gets donated to KNON. Registering is easy at GoodSearch.com, and KNON 89.3 is the name to enter in your account settings for charity selection. Support KNON with your online shopping and dining at GoodSearch.com.
Hi, this is Candy Markham, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. Listen.
All right, welcome again back to Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis again here with Patty Fink. David will be back next week. Again, the Supreme Court ruled two big decisions, I guess 2 weeks ago now, with DOMA, the federal DOMA. Part of it is still there. They got rid of a big part of it, though.
Section 3 is gone.
Section 3.
Section 2 says, well, Section 3 was that the federal government couldn't recognize any marriage except that between a man and a woman.
Right.
And that's gone.
That's gone.
That's ruled unconstitutional. So the federal government can recognize marriages in the states where they occur.
Exactly.
And where they are legal. And then that marriage is portable. So this marriage still exists, according to the federal government, wherever you roam.
Exactly.
But this Section 2, where states don't have to recognize each other's marriages, that's still intact.
That's still intact. And we've seen some in the Prop 8 throwing out of that, we've seen some repercussions of that. I believe in the state of Michigan, a lesbian couple was granted a green card for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't Michigan, but that was another state. But in Michigan, a judge has allowed, because of the Supreme Court's ruling, they allowed a lawsuit to proceed to overturn their ban on same-sex marriage. So. These lawsuits are popping up. Now something has happened in Pennsylvania.
Right. The American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, has filed a lawsuit in Pennsylvania, in the state of Pennsylvania. They have a DOMA, but they do not have it's not a constitutional ban that they're challenging. It's a DOMA, just a law.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an enormous group. It's like 23 couples that are involved. And the attorney general there who's a Democrat, has declined to defend the state law, saying that it's in it's wrong to have this law in the first place. So
this is real interesting, because this was the crux of the Prop 8 case, and here's why it was thrown out. The state of California chose not to defend the law.
Right.
And a group of regular citizens like you and I, Patty, went and tried to replace the state.
Well, not like you and I.
Well, you know what I mean.
Well, not just that we're gay, but that, you know, that they were so incensed by it all that they had to go.
Right. Well, we're not elected officials, in other words.
Right.
These are some regular folk
went and tried to replace the state. And, you know, it got all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they said no. They've never done that and are not going to start now. So they didn't have standing. We're back to the standing issue. So if this attorney general in Pennsylvania is not going to defend the law, well, what's going to happen? That's going to be really interesting because they've already kind of attacked that issue.
Right, exactly. And what's really interesting is that this lawsuit and the plaintiffs in this lawsuit, there are 23 of them, and they come from all walks of life. One's a doctor, they have some college professors, a truck driver, Vietnam vet, a woman who lost her partner of 29 years.
Mm.
And so there's a real mix there of...
from different backgrounds.
Exactly, and different circumstances. So they're really taking it head on, this whole idea that marriage must be limited to one man, one woman in the state of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And so the attorney general there is saying, no, I'm not going to defend it because it's indefensible. So, I mean, this is going to get really interesting as these states, you mentioned Michigan, has tapped that ruling mm-hmm. in order to say a lawsuit may proceed.
Right.
And, you know, so we're going to see some movement.
A lot of movement. I just hope it's not, because there's another case here. I didn't read the details, but that was filed here in Texas in Galveston. And we need to have, what's his name on, Ken Upton, to come on and talk about some of these cases, how, you know, they may not all be good ideas. You know, some of the rulings could put us a step back. So,
well, what they really want, and Lambda Legal's talked about this in the past when mm-hmm. we've had Ken Upton and others on the show, is that you really want the right circumstances. And it couldn't have gotten more crystal clear than Lawrence v. Texas, you know, where the Houston police broke into a home in order
right.
to arrest and arrested two men who were together in bed. And, you know, the circumstances of that were perfect. And some of these circumstances are not.
Right.
And if it veers off into a different kind of slant on what's going on in the case, then it could result in a ruling that doesn't really benefit our advancement of equality.
Right, right.
So it is dicey, but, you know, we'll see. But, you know, in the past many years, our attorney general here in Texas has chimed in on a lot going on, but things may change.
Because
what also happened this week is that Governor Goodhair has said that he's not going to run again. Rick Perry is saying he's not going to run again for governor. So we don't know. I'm hoping he's going to run for president again.
Oh, I hope he does.
You know,
please.
You know, and maybe he'll run with Palin. You know, Perry Palin. That would be a great mix right there.
Sounds good. Sounds really good.
But since he's not going to run, the likely candidate for governor of Texas will be Greg Abbott,
mm-hmm.
who is currently our attorney general.
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Branch, a local legislator in the Texas House who's a Republican, has already said that he's going to be running for attorney general. So the dominoes, or it's really the tile game. You move one and they all kind of shift.
Right, right.
You know, city council member, Dallas city council member who just rolled off after being term limited, Linda Koop,
mm-hmm.
is now going to run for a Texas House seat. So it, you know, things are shifting and stuff.
Things are shifting.
So
it was interesting. With the governor Perry's announcement, there was a lot of on the other side of him were hooting, hollering in celebration. But what was kind of sad is for me is that's what took him to get him out of office. It was his own decision. I can't believe we have voted him in what, 3-4 times now.
Five. Moving on to Texas Emperor. Well, he's been in public office all his life. He's come up through the House, and
mm-hmm.
he was even a Democrat at one point.
He was,
and but he will have been in office 14 years.
That
if he ran again and won, it would be 18. And Texas does not have a tradition of an emperor. I mean, think about it. There are entire generations of kids
who don't know anybody else but
Rick Perry.
Why don't we have term limits?
That's been a big discussion. But a bigger discussion in the Texas legislature has been this whole idea of HB2,
yes,
SB1, which is the bill that would just pass last night at just before midnight. with severe, incredibly big restrictions on abortion rights.
Abortion.
And the access to women's health care.
Now,
across Texas.
Let's get into that. This new measure limits abortion. You can't have an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy.
Right. Which a lot of people are not against. It's the other things that have been added into the bill that are just egregious.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely egregious. On top of the previous session, they passed a bill that said that a woman must get a sonogram and basically be told a bunch of falsehoods by their doctor, mm-hmm. requiring mm-hmm. doctors to share false information. Mm-hmm. With patients. So it's all on top of that, too. So let's not forget that there have been other things that a woman faced with a difficult pregnancy and difficult decision that should be hers to make. Or the government's inside her. You know, I posted this thing sometime a couple weeks ago about the elephant in the womb. You know, there's the uterus, ovaries, yeah. And there's this little GOP elephant up inside, and it's like, you know, WTF, you know. The elephant in the womb, because,
right.
you know, get government out of our lives. No, except for women. You know,
exactly.
Be right in there with us. So it's been an interesting ride. And yesterday, did you hear about this?
Yes.
The Texas House, the Department of Public Safety was screening everyone going inside and opening their bags, and they removed all tampons and maxi pads from women.
Now,
and confiscated them because they were scared that they were going to throw them from the gallery onto the
so senators. Maxi pads and tampons.
But guns were okay.
Guns are okay.
Guns could go in. Is that not – the whole picture of it was just – this is how screwed up Texas is. They're going to stop women and remove – and so House Representative from Houston, Jessica Farrar, says, if any women need a tampon or a maxi pad, come to my office. I have some. You know, since all of theirs were deliberately taken – actively taken away.
The bags
were searched and they were removed.
This was another story. When I read the headline, I'm like, okay, this is a joke.
Exactly.
You know, let me go to a reputable news site, and sure enough, it was there. Oh my God! I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone. Are you serious?
I know. It's just gotten so insane. They're that bent on doing this.
You know?
So it's just a battle. It's not the war, but it's just getting very, very interesting. But I loved the comments about, you know, Red Scare in Texas of that, and then the people go, what about a gun that shoots tampons? So there was. Can you take that in?
I love that.
So there was a graphic out there that showed, you know, a gun constructed from the little cardboard tubes,
mm-hmm.
and a set of ammo, a belt of ammo around the guy's chest that had, you know, were made up of tampons, so that you could load your gun.
Wow.
I mean, it's just insane.
It's just insane. Now, one of the requirements of this new law, in addition that, you know, you can't have an abortion after 20 weeks of pregnancy, is that doctors who perform the abortions, they have to be admitting privileges to a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic. What does that mean? You work in the healthcare industry. What does admitting privileges mean?
Privileges for a physician are wide and vast. They can have privileges at a hospital because they're using facilities. They carry their own medical license into the building and how they treat patients,
mm-hmm.
but they're using facilities. And so in order to do that, the hospital can say, we have standards, and you have to meet these standards, and we have to approve that you can practice here in this facility and use our facilities. And so
a medical license alone is not enough.
Right. And a lot of doctors don't seek. It's just like, think of it as like lawyers who get approved to be to speak before the Supreme Court of the United States, or they get admitted to the bar in a given state or whatever. It's kind of the same thing. So a lot of physicians don't want to maintain all of that because then you have to keep it up and, you know, follow all the paperwork that's involved. And so if they practice at Baylor, then they stick with Baylor and they Baylor facilities. But they may do consulting, like, you know, if they get called in on a case in Fort Worth, they may have consulting privileges. Well, to get admitting privileges means that you got the full package.
Gotcha.
Because if you can admit a patient, then you can consult on their case, obviously.
Gotcha.
And such. So it's you know, it's just another thing that doctors do, and they typically maintain a few. And those who work in ambulatory care centers may not have gone through that process and built a relationship with the facility.
And so,
a doctor who works at an abortion clinic, if he doesn't have admitting privileges of a hospital within 30 miles, that subsequently will shut that clinic down.
Right.
So but that's really what this is about.
Right.
So then this law just passed. It hasn't been signed yet. It's not law yet, but it will be.
Yeah, Governor Goodhair is going to sign it.
Yeah, he's going to sign it.
But it's not just that. There were 42 clinics in the state of Texas that perform these services, not just those services, but other women's reproductive health services, you know, cervical cancer screenings,
right,
breast cancer screenings, that kind of thing, and you know, just general health care for women,
mm-hmm,
and at low cost or no cost. And so one of the other things that they did was set standards for those clinics to meet you know, a higher standard, like ambulatory care centers. And a lot of those clinics are not equipped to do that and are not financially in a place to do so, to bring it up to this standard. And so most of them will close. It's estimated that there will only be five left in this entire state of Texas.
Wow.
When it's done, you know, by the time this passes and it's implemented. So it's really pretty nuts. And what's crazy is that Senator Wendy Davis, you know, who's been, you know, from right here in North Texas.
Oh, yeah, her, now she's a national name.
She is a national name, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally hope she will run for governor.
Oh, that'd be great.
You know, even though it's a weak governor state.
Still,
it's, you know, they can set the agenda.
Absolutely.
Kind of thing. But, you know, she and others in the Texas Senate were introducing bills that basically said, okay, if you're talking about safety of women, you know, by having all of these restrictions, then let's bring this set of healthcare centers up to the higher level so that they're inspected once every year instead of once every 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
They turned that down. They voted that down. And so, you know, she said basically this isn't about women's safety.
This
has nothing to do with women's safety at all. This is about, you know, controlling women, basically.
Yeah, or in a roundabout way, outlawing abortions.
Yeah, that's really
what it's about. Now, there was a similar law passed in Mississippi, I think, last year, and there was a legal challenge to it. I haven't heard anything about it since. I'm assuming there will be a legal challenge to this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I think there will definitely be. And Senator Rodney Ellis said so from the floor of the Senate.
Yeah, so.
This is not constitutional.
Yeah.
There will be a lawsuit.
And I'm sure this will probably get close, if not all the way back up to the Supreme Court.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to, you know, I don't know how many Planned Parenthoods this will shut down, but, you know, that's one of the most upsetting things. I've even had my own personal debates with people about this. Planned Parenthood is not just about getting abortions. It's not at all.
I mean, in fact, in North Texas, it's only 3%.
Exactly. They offer a lot of health care to women. But we need to.
Who can't otherwise afford it?
Who can't otherwise afford it? You know.
And what's really telling to me is, I was on a call this week with the White House about the Affordable Care Act implementation in Texas, and that's about to roll out. I mean, October is going to be enrollment in the exchanges and such, and we're just going to see how all of this falls out with all of these decisions not to expand Medicaid in the state of Texas.
That's right.
This is going to be a confluence of events, you know, and maybe it proves that the Texas GOP has the ability to change the weather because they're changing all this stuff. Who knows?
Who knows?
You know,
wow.
this could be really nuts.
So when is the law going to affect when he signs it?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know when it's going to kick in.
Wow.
But, you know, I spoke at a rally not too long ago, maybe a week or so ago,
mm-hmm,
about, you know, the Stand With Texas Women thing. And one of the things that I pointed out was that Louise Raggio, who was a beloved pioneer in women's rights in Texas, you know, made the first family code in the nation.
Oh, really?
She really spearheaded the first family you know, law,
mm-hmm,
out there. And in the marriage, the Marital Property Act of 1967 was enacted, which was spawned what we have today. And up until that point, married women were basically the property of their husbands. And we couldn't have a bank account, couldn't get a bank loan, couldn't own property in her own name, couldn't function without her husband's signature. So she was a piece of property, basically.
Wow.
And so, you know, I think that's really where they want to take us back.
I was going to say, we've come a long way, and it looks like we're taking a step back. But
thank you. Thank you for tuning in this week.
We'll take a step forward next week.
We'll take a step forward next week. And David will be back. Thanks again for spending your hour with us. We'll see you next week here on Lambda Weekly.